I'm not going to start this morning by saying when I was on sabbatical. What I want to start this morning by saying is thank you for releasing me to a sabbatical. I've had a wonderful time, and I will be drip feeding bits back, and there will be this kind of evening with me, and I hope that you'll be able to come along and ask all sorts of questions, because it can get very tedious just listening to what I want to say, and you're going, but I really want to hear about this, that, and the other. But I really do appreciate it. And it's really good to be back. It's really good to be back to see things that have changed. It's really good to be back to see new faces. It's really good to be back to see that life at TBC has been moving on over the last three and a half months. And I'm really excited to be back, because I'm really excited to see where God is going to continue to move us on as a church. But I'm also excited as to what God has been doing and renewing my ministry, or sense of ministry. So that's great. Now this morning, it feels odd to say we're continuing in a teaching series, because one of the things that I have done on sabbatical is go to different churches. So I haven't been following the teaching series here at all, but I understand, I'm reliably informed, that we are in a new teaching series, and I am picking up on where we happen to be on the plan. And so we're looking at stories that Jesus told to help us understand what life in the kingdom of God is all about and how to live more like him. And the story we're going to look at today concerns money. So this morning we're going to explore how we think and how we feel about money. And we're going to examine ourselves before God in this respect. So we're going to do something really practical to help us. Can I ask you, if you have a purse or a wallet or a coat pocket, to dig in and pull out some money? I don't care what you pull out, but would you find something that you might... I know we live in a bit of a cashless society, don't we? But would you dig into your wallet or your purse or your phone or whatever it is and pull out? Maybe if you haven't got any cash on you, maybe pull out a bit of plastic, okay? This is so brave, because you've got no idea what I'm going to say now, do you? Would you wave whatever it is you have found? All right? I've come prepared, okay? And my husband hasn't come prepared. I didn't tell him, because we don't talk, not most of the time, you know? That is fantastic. If you haven't got anything on you, imagine you're holding something. And I want you to look at it, and I want you to ask the question, how do I feel about what I'm holding in my hand? You might be holding a £5 note, and it might have been one of many £5 notes that were in your wallet, and you just selected one at random. You might be sitting here thinking, I wish I'd got a £5 note in my wallet to be able to wave around. And the money that you're holding it, have you given any thought as to how you're going to use it? Maybe you haven't. It's just sitting there in your purse, your wallet, in your phone. If you need to rob me, you know where I keep my money now. It's always tucked into my phone. But maybe you have got a purpose for that money. Maybe you're planning to treat yourself to something. Or maybe you know that that money is going to be used for something absolutely essential. It might be for something that's going to benefit you, or it might be that you're planning for that money to be used to benefit somebody else. And because we don't like talking about money, you might have felt really uncomfortable when I said, would you pull some money out? And you might have had a little bit of a sneaky look at what the person next to you pulled out. So it might be you were going to pull out a £20 note, but you saw that they only pulled out 50p, and so you changed what you were going to pull out. Or it might be that you pulled out 50p and you looked at the person with the £20 note and feelings bubbled up inside of you. We all have quite a complex relationship with money, if we're honest. And we can be really irrational in the way that we think about money and in the way that we use money. I won't think twice about going to a favourite coffee shop, buying a cup of coffee and enjoying a piece of cake, no matter what the cost. But put me on a supermarket aisle in front of the tinned tomatoes and I am calculating the cheapest tin on the shelf. And I will spend time. Years ago, a friend of mine said, I watched you in front of the beans. You were there ages. We're all a bit irrational at the way we think and the way we use money. Some of us are careful with money, and some of us are extravagant and spontaneous with money. Some of us are very risk adverse when it comes to money, and some of us are whatever the opposite to risk adverse is. Some of us think long and hard about the way we use our money, and others of us don't give any thought to the way we use our money at all. But if we think about the emotions that we experience around money, most typically we're likely to feel guilt or shame or frustration or excitement or envy. And with the rising costs of fuel and food and everything else, it's quite possible that fear and worry are one of the feelings that we have around money, even for people that maybe have never really worried about money in the past. So the story we're going to look at today is going to encourage us to address how the power the money can have over our lives. And it comes about because a stranger in a crowd tried to get Jesus involved in a family squabble about money. So we're going to turn to Luke 12, if you've got your Bibles or your phones or whatever. If you can flick through to Luke 12, and we're going to start reading at verse 13. And I'm going to encourage you to have your Bible and your money alongside as you and as we look at this story together. In fact, this story comes in the middle of a whole load of stories that Jesus told about worries and so on. But starting at verse 13, we read, someone in the crowd said to him, that's Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, the way inheritance worked back in the day was that the firstborn was guaranteed a double portion of the family inheritance. And so I think it's safe to say that the man in the crowd who engages Jesus on the subject of money would have been a younger sibling, not the oldest one. He was unhappy at how the inheritance had been divided up. And Jesus chooses not to get involved. Jesus replies, moving on to verse 14, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Jesus says, I don't want to get involved. But he doesn't walk away. He uses this opportunity, this moment, to talk about emotions and feelings and power around money, because he can see that money is getting in the way of a relationship between brothers. Money is embittering these brothers. Money's affecting their hearts and their minds and their spirit. And so Jesus says, I'm going to tell you a story. And out of this story, it might help you review and reflect and even change the way you think about this fight you're having over money and material wealth. And as we read this story, and we've got our money sitting on our Bibles, I'm going to encourage you to think about this story and how you feel about money, and maybe the power of money or the lack of money has in your life. So carrying on in the story, verse 15, We read, "Then he said to them," and again this is Jesus, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And then he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, drink and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will you get what? Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with those whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Jesus is saying to the crowds through this story, life is not defined by what you have, even when you've got a lot. And I do wonder how money, either having a lot of it or not very much of it, is defining our lives today. In this parable, this businessman had done really well for himself. He'd got an expanding enterprise and it had made him very rich. And we might imagine that he'd be the kind of person that in his local community, he would have been really highly respected. And in his local community, there would have been competitors that weren't so happy with how well he was doing. And there might well have been competitors that said, "We need to learn from this man. He's got stuff to teach us." In the eyes of the world, he was wise and he was successful. But Jesus describes him as a fool and as a failure. You see, this man is presumed he's got years and years ahead of him to enjoy his wealth. Having accumulated much, he can put his feet up and enjoy it. And he's given no thought to what might lie ahead of the life that he's built in the here and now. Nikki Gumbel was commenting on this story only in the last week. If you do Bible in a Year with Nikki Gumbel, you will have come across this story. But he says of this story, notice how self-focused this man is. The word "I" or "my" appears times in the story. And Peter said in the Message translation or paraphrase of the Bible says, "The man has filled his barn with self and not God." And this is why Jesus says he is a fool. The wealthy man in Jesus' story thought he was worth what his possessions were worth, but he was wrong. In his pursuit of wealth, material wealth, he'd failed to be rich towards God. I think it's Benjamin Franklin once said, "A person wrapped up in themselves is a very small package." So look at what you're holding in your hand. How do you feel about what you're holding? How do you feel about money? And this is such a crucial question for us to address today in our current economic climate. You know, the headlines every day are telling us how we're going to be poorer this winter because of escalating energy bills and rising food prices and all the rest of it. How are we, as the people of God, going to guard against filling our barns with self rather than with the riches of God? This is a real issue for the season that we're in. How do you feel about what is in your hand? Guilt, envy, shame, fear, or something else? I came across this lovely little story on the internet this week. It's written by a Year 7 student, and she's at Scarborough College, and her teacher posted this on the college website. She was asked a couple of years ago to do a little piece of creative writing, and the essay was to be called "The Life Story of a Pound Coin." And this is what she wrote. This is Libby's story. I felt myself being compressed between others of my kind in a sort of wallet thing made out of leather that the two-legged creature had put me in. Oh, how dark it was inside that wallet, and oh, how claustrophobic. I hated it. Suddenly, we were all thrown down, and a gap in the creature's wallet, and through the gap in the creature's wallet, I saw that we were in a moving creature's body. I was terrified. This is a year seven student. After a while, I began to realize that the creature wasn't hurting me, and that I had a little time to explain who I am. Well, my name is Pound, and I live everywhere. I move houses pretty much every day, sometimes every other day if I'm lucky. Most of my life has been moving houses. My best friend has the same name as me, and so does my mum. Isn't that funny? We're all called Pound. Except for my dad, he's called 2 pounds, and he's a lot bigger than us, and he's worth a lot more than me and my mum. My dad, who's fighting against the American dollar, keeps saying that pounds are losing strength to fight and the dollar is gaining strength fast. It's a year seven girl. Anyway, a couple of years ago, I did a terrible thing. I nearly choked somebody. I didn't really mean to. It wasn't my fault, really. It was the screaming little creature's fault. And everyone kept saying before I almost choked the thing, what a cute baby it was. That must have been the creature's name. It happened when we were all sitting in a loud, noisy place where the two-legged people were running around, serving people food, while my owners were sitting lazing around and talking to each other. After the meal, the creatures brought us out to pay for their food, and the baby put its hand in the wallet and put me in its mouth. Ew! I was totally grossed out. Then I got stuck, and the baby cried out in pain. Trying to dislodge myself from the baby's throat, I managed to get loose, and I felt myself coming to the opening in the mouth. I couldn't wait to be out of this mess. Finally, I broke the surface, and then I was thrown down on the counter. And that's where I leave you, as moving houses is quite a business. Isn't that a fantastic story? It's just lovely. But you know, money can choke us. How we feel about money can stick in our throat. Making it, spending it, parting with it. And how we spend it. Is it filling self, our barn of self, more than we want to admit to? I've been really challenged by money. While I've been on sabbatical, I have to get it in there, don't I? When I was on sabbatical, I was challenged about money. I was particularly challenged by a man on a train when I was going up to Lindisfarne. I got into a conversation with an absolutely fascinating lady. She was a Brit who'd married an American serviceman. She was really widely travelled. He'd retired. She'd gone into county level politics. And we talked about her life and where she'd been. And we talked about the challenges in the communities that she was serving. Loads of stuff we talked about her. And then just before she got off the train, she said, "And what do you do?" And so I said, "I'm a pastor in a church that is welcoming and very involved with our local community." I said I was on a sabbatical. I was travelling up to Lindisfarne, Holy Island, to have a week's retreat. And as part of my sabbatical, I was going to go out to Africa to do some mission work there. And that was it, because she got to York and she had to get off a train. I didn't boast about anything that we did here. I didn't say anything about any of the mission stuff or community stuff we do. For once, I said very little. I was practicing for my silent retreat. And when she got off the train, I got back to my Kindle and I carried reading whatever I was reading. And it then got quite close to the stop that I needed to get off at. And a gentleman sitting further up the carriage had obviously overheard our conversation. And as he walked past where I was sitting, I guess to nip to the loo, he put a £20 note on my table and he said, enjoy your sabbatical and use that for what you're going to do. Now, I don't know whether I would have given a £20 note to a complete stranger with complete freedom to use whatever they wanted to use it for. It sat there for several minutes and I just didn't know what to do. It felt weird to pick it up and put it in my pocket, but I couldn't just leave it there on the table. And for transparency's sake, I passed it on to the Acorn Chaplaincy, which was where I was volunteering on a Wednesday morning throughout my sabbatical, working with people who are on addiction recovery journeys. That's where I gave it to. But it was a real challenge. But you know, it's changed me because I keep looking for those opportunities where God says, would you pass that £20 on? Or that fiver? Or that pound coin? I wonder how what we're holding can be used to fill our barns with riches for God rather than filling it with ourselves. How can what we're holding make a difference to the kingdom of God? The temptation to accumulate things for ourselves is so powerful because, let's be honest, material prosperity is really appealing. But making financial security our ambition and our goal, it comes at a cost because our lives become defined by what we've got and not by our trust and our faith in God. Instead of living like fools, Jesus calls us to look beyond material possessions and our physical needs. And of course we have to pay our bills. And of course we have to pay our taxes and so on. You know, we have to pay money out. And the Bible doesn't say that having a holiday is wrong or enjoying a nice meal out or using our money to lay down great memories with friends. The Bible doesn't say any of these things are wrong. But wisdom is found in understanding how we feel about money and recognizing the power that it has over our lives. So look again at what you're holding and ask yourself, how does this make me feel? Guilty, envious, ashamed, fearful? How is money defining our lives? How are our feelings around money affecting our lives? Do we need to loosen our grip? I know I do. Do we need to shift our goals or our ambitions? Do we need to surrender our worries and our fears and our anxieties about money to God and ask him to fill us with the confidence to put our faith in him? I wonder if it's time for our attitude towards money to change. So we're going to spend a moment just waiting on God, and I'm going to ask you to stand, I think, and hold whatever it is that you've got in your hand. And if you haven't got anything in your hand, that's fine. Imagine that you have something. Let's just wait on the Holy Spirit to reveal our feelings about money. Let's stand. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to release us, to birth people who will act wisely rather than like the man who Jesus describes as a fool. You know, we're so blessed here at TBC. We're a really generous church. And we're a congregation of very mixed incomes, and I love that about us. And we have a debt advice ministry. And we're planted in a community where so many people do have worries and concerns over money. We're so privileged for our diversity here. But maybe let's just hold out what we're holding in our hands. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to us for a few moments.
Thank you.
Lord, this morning we've sung songs about wanting to be holy, our desires to be for you, about you, our lives to be surrendered to you. And Father, would you help us today to include our feelings around money to be part of those words that we have declared before you. God, you know our circumstances, each and every one of them. And our circumstances are secondary to our hearts to this morning and the way our hearts feel about our circumstances. God, would you work in our hearts at a really deep level to hear what you're saying, to help us take steps that enable us to have faith and trust you for this day and for all days, in order that our money doesn't have control over us and push you out of our lives. So God, we pray for situations where money is getting in the way of relationship, and we ask you to redeem those situations. Lord, we lift before you the desire for money that is affecting the decisions that we make in what we do or how we do it, and ask you to release us so that we might follow you with clear consciences and to do those things that you will bless and will be a blessing to us. God, as we put back in our pockets or our wallets or our phones or whatever, whatever it is that we pulled out today, I pray that it will go back in differently because you've spoken to us about our money. Thank you, Lord. Amen.